This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. My name is Erin Green, and it is Friday, the 18th of June, 2021. You're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Today is also Culture Fridays. I want to say thank you to Angelique McKay from Cultural Experience Productions for providing me with a wide cadre of guests, like just the most talented and interesting and invested Bahamians, right? It's just been a wonderful, wonderful series of discussions. Today, we take a short break from the Culture Friday segment because Sunday is Father's Health Month. And I wanted to make this space available to emphasize to men that society cares about them, that women care about them, that other men in this town care about them. And you see that song I played this morning? I had Arlington play. Thank you so much, Arlington. That's called For the Babies by Damian Marley. And that's one of the most prolific songs to come out in my generation. This young man is truly following in the steps of his father, right? In the music that he is producing and trying to produce and bring to his community songs that will uplift them and songs that will make them think about their purpose on this planet. And that song, For the Babies, if you just heard that first verse, I want the fathers out there to know that the babies appreciate you. The children love you. And they don't care about your bad ways. They don't care about your bad habits. And to be honest with you, they don't care about your personal dysfunction, your emotional or your mental dysfunction. All they care about is that you are there, that they could touch you, that when they wake up, you smiling at them, that when they wake up scared, you there to hold them and comfort them. Even the little boys, even the little bad head, look here, you know how many beautiful almond head, peanut head, breadfruit head, little mango head, little boys out. They just beautiful. You see them on the road, they just beautiful. And all them little boy them really, really want they daddy. And I notice, because my daddy been passed for 30 years to want your daddy. And I could only imagine, how it feels to want your daddy and to know your daddy is here on this realm and you can't be with him, right? That's why I played that song this morning. Now, to be honest with you, I was looking for the song called Daddy by Bagon, who's a Bahamian, who is a similar vibe, right? His song go, daddy, daddy, the children one day, daddy, something, something, something. They want to do ballet and karate, right? Anyway, that's a Bahamian saying the same thing, right? These are young Bahamian men who understand the importance of their role as fathers, not just in their families, not just in their communities, but in the entire nation. Right? So I said, quick shout out to buy them like Uncle Sarah, Cleveland Aeneas III, Sakani Nash, Jason Evans, people who, like in the group I was in, the sport, take young people into the fold. And it ain't that they providing the daddy, they isn't trying to be your daddy, but they were prepared to be strong male role models in the spaces that they were in. Right? I only could throw out a couple names. I want to say good morning to my good Uncle Stanley. He's the only uncle I have left, right? When I say that, he's the only blood uncle I have left. That's why I claim in plenty of y'all is my uncle when I see y'all. So just smile and tell your wife, no, no, that's just Erin Green. They ain't really, she ain't really. Don't worry about that. That's just Erin Green. I also want to send a shout out to the bus driver, JN0485, this morning, who decided to pull out of the corner by Collins Avenue. Y'all know what y'all is do to cut across the Collins Avenue. I'm not upset at you, you know. But the pedestrian very upset at you. And in the spirit of Father's Day, I want you to think about how you almost killed some daddy good child on the road this morning. Let's not do that. I got a full show today, so I just got a couple of things in the news that I want to touch on. The Citizen Security and Justice Group is hosting a parenting and sexual prevention or parenting and sexual prevention classes. You can contact the Ministry of Social Services if you are interested or you want to participate or you want to refer people to these training opportunities. Also, Mr. Brave Davis, you are not allowed to use that type of language in the House of Assembly. I don't care how ridiculous those people are carrying on in there. That language is inappropriate, and you know better. But on a more important note, to the Honorable Ellsworth Johnson, you know what was worse than Brave Davis jumping up and saying that word in the House yesterday? It's how you jump up like a little school boy, excited by the potential of a fight. That, see, because you were trying to make me believe that you were concerned about the use of profanity in the House. You were trying to make me believe like it was a bad thing. But the way that you smile, I mean, you smile like how little children smile when they ain't see their daddy in a long time. That like you had joy on your face. It is inappropriate, sir. And this is the part of the political culture I be talking about that we need to change. On to another matter, the Fisheries Act injunction. I don't have a lot to say about it except this. I still am not sure if lawyers are paying attention to the provisions related to or pertaining to the use or act. And while the matter of discrimination against women by preventing their husbands from a different citizenship, but who have the right to work in the Bahamas from working on the boat is one thing. But this access to seabeds thing, that's a big, big deal. And we need to focus on that. On another note, the deputy prime minister said no load shedding this summer. And they came back and clarified that no load shedding doesn't mean no power outages. They're two separate issues, right? I could be honest with you. After 35, 40 years of watching y'all try and manage this power system, we don't care. There is no difference between load shedding and power outages. And I need y'all to know that. Also, I need you to know that there's a delay on your Facebook page. Y'all be sending out the notices of outages 4 hours after the outage began. That is PLP math. We don't expect that from BPL. Yeah. Okay. That was basically it because I don't really want to talk about Wells and Bannister this morning. But I will have this small note from Bannister. If you go to The Guardian, on page A2 is a headline. Bannister, I am entitled to criticize judgment. And there are two points here. Bannister does go on in the in his statement and say, the government will obey the order of the court. And that's what I expect, sir. Like, I expect nothing less. Right? Like, that's the rule of law. That's what you're supposed to do. Separation of powers. You're supposed to follow the order of the court. But I want to ask you this. Will you follow the order? Will you obey the order like you obeyed the Blackbeard's key order? That's all I want to know. Because I'd like to start trying to sell to people. It is a bridge from the Bahamas to common sense. And it is a very valuable, valuable bridge. But I make joke. I make plenty joke. This morning I got a quick text. Good morning. I see the media houses are acting like they didn't hear the opposition leader cuss in Parliament yesterday. That's not what it is, you know, Texter. Let me tell you what it is. In fact, I had it titled Brave Davis on Profanity in the House of Assembly. And I wrote a poem, and the poem goes like this. If you think the leader of the opposition's use of that word is the most profane thing that has happened in that house. You heard that voice in the background. Throw the whole thing in the garbage. I think this silence in and of itself is a critique, right? Like, they didn't expect any better from them people in the house. It's not as if this somehow surpasses the level of profanity that we experience daily, attacking women. Don't think I forget how y'all attack Glenys Anna Martin in that house for no reason other than y'all let bully culture set in there. You know, we get it. You talk about beating your ex-girlfriend. You talk about cutting things off of people. You talk about all manner of foolishness in there. What you don't talk about is the number of people who died in Dorian. What you don't talk about is your obligation to ensure those who were displaced are resettled if they want to. Nor have you discussed the details, the policies devised to ensure that Abaco residents can return to Abaco in time to register to vote in. See, there are far more profane things going on in that House of Assembly than the use of that word. And maybe that's why the newspapers didn't pick it up, Texter. Arlington, I think is now a good time to go to a quick break, and then we're going to bust into this next segment because it's Father's Day, and I got to go find me a father or an uncle to buy me dinner on Sunday. Yeah, this is a new age, to my guess. This is a new age Father's Day. I want to help him feel empowered by giving him somebody to provide for in case he hadn't filled his provision quota. Absolutely. Yeah. Arlington, let's go to this break and we will be right back.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Friday, the 18th of June, 2021. Did you know the 2021 Statistics Act makes provision for the establishment of the National Statistical Institute that will operate as an autonomous corporate body to replace the existing Department of Statistics. The Institute would implement world-class standards for collecting, compiling, analyzing, and publishing official statistics. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Now, I see I have a caller on the line. Caller, you got 30 seconds because I got to introduce my first guest. Good morning. Good morning, Bremen. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Bless you.
There's some seabed stuff in which you were
referencing,
We have to stop giving away our land, especially our seabed and stuff like that. Because you see, the thing is, people who are not Bahamians think we don't deserve what we have.
Oh, that's a, don't watch nothing. That's a global syndrome. It's called
Is this a global or not? Who votes? But the Bahamian people vote. And we vote for our country. Mm-hmm. And those people who can't handle our country in a proper manner for us, then they shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be voting for them.
Ah.
This is our country, and we got to keep it ours for our great-grand and great-great-great-great-great-great-grand and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bremen. Look here, you inspire me. Now I got to go find a father. I got to commit to the future and making sure I leave somebody here to continue this fight. Thank you, Bremen, very much. Good morning. My guest today is Tiffany Bain from the Organization for Responsible Government, and she's here to tell us about the Youth Tank Program, Me, You, Us Youth Saloon. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Bahamas. All right, so I'm incredibly excited to talk about the Me, You, Us Youth Saloon. It is one of the programs of Org Education.
Mm-hmm.
We were here before to talk about our Shark Tank program, which positions youth in advocacy and amplifies their voices, positions them to solve their own problems. And so the first iteration of this program, our youth designed schools that they wanted to see, and they were able to present that before a panel of judges. And if I'm not mistaken, Sadie Curtis was a school that won that Shark Tank program.
Okay, so schools participated in the program?
Yes.
Awesome.
In that H.O. Nash, what was Christian Heritage School, I think it's another school now, Sadie Curtis, and another school that T.A. Thompson. So those schools participated in that program. And again, these students pitched their ideas before members of Ministry of Education. In fact, the director and assistant director of education, and in front of professionals in architecture education, and presented their ideas thoroughly. So last year with the lockdowns, our iteration of this Shark Tank program went to Minecraft. So we had youth design models of their schools using the Minecraft app, mm-hmm. and then they gave us tours and explained what it is that they wanted from their schools. So we had the good fortune in 2021, we were an organization approached us about a youth program that was rooted in gender-based violence.
Okay.
And given the times, we thought this was a really good departure to the normal structure of the program. And so what we decided to do was design a youth saloon. And a saloon is really just a fancy word for like workshop, summit, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. And so our goal is to select 20 youth, so that's persons 16 to 24, from across the Bahamas to come together. We put them into four groups and they themselves design a community-based intervention to reduce incidences of gender-based violence. Like literally, so that's what's gonna happen. We put them in the place of complete empowerment. We give them a small budget, so some financial support. We give them skill development and support. And over the next 10 months, they get to launch an intervention program for gender-based violence.
Wow. That's awesome. Now let's talk about, well, let's give some examples of gender-based violence and the types of violence that young people experience.
So
for me, like the incident yesterday with the three young men, right?
Right.
This idea that we're looking for somebody who's vulnerable, who's easy to rob.
Right.
Right? And oh, a woman, an older woman, is an easy target. So we targeted her because she is not just a woman, but an older woman.
Right.
Right.
So gender-based violence is typically when a victim is essentially targeted based on the gender that they present or represent.
Uh-huh.
So their gender identity or how they sexually identify. That's often the case.
Yeah.
So we're talking about things like sexual assault, domestic violence, and anything that falls in between, including things like street harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been such an incredible time in society and in social media. We've seen increasing incidences of gender-based violence and lots of things that we've swept under the rug. I thought one of the most important things that this program could present is kind of like a shift in the mindset of the idea of people and their bodies being owned by other people and having a complete shift in that mentality.
Don't tell the parents that.
Well, again,
don't tell the parents that you're giving children a degree of awareness
mm-hmm.
about themselves
right.
and the limitation, right? Like, this is what I can do.
Right.
And don't tell parents that you're giving children a sense of autonomy and control over their body. But please tell them that you teach kids the responsibility
right.
for their bodies. Right?
And others. So this program is bigger. This program is essentially bigger than just teaching individuals that, like, you have an autonomous body and nobody else has possession over your body. This is a lot bigger. One of the reasons I've rooted this in youth culture is we need this ideal to be perpetuated over time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas as a country, while it identifies as a quote-unquote Christian nation, what we've done over time is inherited a lot of belief systems that have been incredibly toxic. So we say one set of words without having complete understanding of the implications of it. And so we've aligned wholly with, like, these moral values that we don't understand realistically. So being able to unpack things like when people say, like, a family, the value of family sitting down to dinner, we'll say something like that. And people will be like, okay, I ate with my kids. So that has that outcome. But having people unpack things like, no, the value of the family dinner was that we sat down together and we communicated. So we also built our level of attachment. We built our communication and understanding of each other. So this was not about eating simultaneously. This is what that environment did. And so one of the outcomes of this program is to help us, to help youth look at data very specifically, look at the research behind behaviors, and design programs that kind of, like, unravel what it is that we thought we were doing, look at the outcomes of that, and figure out how to shift that into what it is that we actually desire to achieve.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dear parents, it's not a revolution.
No.
It's just positive, healthy youth development and giving them the skills that they will need to navigate a rapidly changing world.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things I think I thought about when you were saying that is that we tell children, use children, do what children is do.
Right.
But at the same time, we expect children to operate like adults when necessary. So I expect you to know that when you come home with your siblings, you're in charge.
Right.
You don't get to and focus on them. But then when you get home, and they say to you something like, oh, well, Johnny was doing that thing again, mommy, and I think you should. And then you look at him and say, who you think you is? You think you's an adult, eh?
Which is it?
And the child is sitting there like, well, I could be honest with you. I just completed 2 hours worth of adult chores.
Right.
And so in that space, are we really being open and honest with our children and accountable
right.
with them?
So here's the thing. The idea of we talk about teenagers in our environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the concept of an adolescent or a teenager is really a new one. The idea of youth is actually, it's a relatively new concept. Like, historically, you went from a child, you hit puberty, you were an adult. So we have maybe about, now we're approaching about 100 years of recognizing there's this in-between stage between being a child and being an adult. And so some of us still haven't gone into practice of teaching youth skills that they need for adulthood, because in practice, in our minds, you go from, oh, you were a child, I treated you as a child, and now you are an adult, and obviously you have all of the skills that are necessary to be an adult because you've hit some sort of nominal age that the government has identified that you are now an autonomous and independent being.
Yeah.
And so a part of this is like helping you to understand and gain the skills so that when we get to the point of, when they get to the point of complete empowerment, they have those skills. And again, another layer of this is we also live in a country where there are a lot of lines that are towed. So you have really, really great ideas, but there are so many people who have been waiting for their turn to be able to speak up and say something and be empowered to do. By the time it's your turn, you are facing retirement. You don't want to leave because you didn't get your chance.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to give youth to have their chance and put them at the table and amplify their voices because they have very valuable contributions. And we want them to also perpetuate this, put more people at the table, have more inclusiveness so that we can have some real change.
Awesome. So let's get here, share the contact information and the details because I know the deadline for submission is the 21st.
We just extended it to the 23rd. That's a very recent development.
Yeah, that's great. No, that was a celebratory book.
So yeah, it's been extended to the 23rd. So it's called the Me, You, Us Youth Saloon. Mm-hmm. You can find more information about it on Org Bahamas' Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The Department of Youth also has the flyer that is posted. You can email me directly at tiffany@orgbahamas.com. That's regular Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y. orgbahamas.com for more specific information. But if you go to those channels, there's a link where you can apply very directly to be a participant in the program. We are selecting 20. And again, we want to be as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you are in Acklands and you have internet, please go ahead and apply. If you are youth with disabilities, if you are representing any specific identity group, like we want this to be as inclusive as possible mm-hmm. so that we have the best outcome.
And if you are youth and old people children, so like if you were young, but when you wake up in the morning, you suck your teeth, you read your Bible verse, and then you look around to see who you can cuss next, it's for you too. Because I too, like that's, I wish that that's how I wanted to be an old person, young person, right? There's plenty of old people cheering out there. So this includes you too.
Yes. I was one of those. My spirit is currently 85 years old.
Yes.
So this resonates with me.
And I could see you cussing me because you need to get back to your tea under the coconut tree.
Hot cinnamon spice, very specifically.
Absolutely. Arlington, let's go to a quick break and then we're going to move into my segment with my guests who have been waiting patiently in the Zoom room, Troy Strawn and Simone Bowe from Men Speak.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're listening to 96.9 FM Radio. And I want to say good morning to my guests, Simone Bowe and Troy Strawn. Good morning. You still there?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Troy. I would like to say to you, thank you for waiting patiently.
Still here.
Currently in training for catching a man. And one of the skills I'm working on now is making them wait. And I hope that I did an appropriate job.
That's fine as long as it's not 3 months like Steve Harvey said.
Oh boy, no, no, I know better than that, buddy. Oh, how to make men stop talking to you. So, good morning, Simone. Good morning, Troy. Simone is one of the organizers from the event Men Speak, and Troy Strawn is one of the participants of that great event. So I want to ask you guys to introduce yourselves briefly to the audience, please.
Well, I'll make it quick. I am an airport professional by day and a public speaker and interior designer by night due to COVID.
Okay. And Simone, just remind the people who you is. You still there, Simone? Okay, Simone.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Good morning to your listeners. My name is Simone Bow. I am a leadership coach, strategist, HR professional, mentor, author, a lot of other things, singer. But I am certainly a men's empowerment advocate. And so I'm looking forward to today's conversation continuing.
Absolutely. So I got some quick questions for Troy first, because Father's Day coming up, I will put the man on the spot. Troy, what does it mean to be man?
Oh, wow, that's a deep question. It depends. For me, to be a man means to be able to accept responsibilities for one's own actions. What you do as a man, you have to be strong enough to face the consequences of that action. I think in a nutshell, a man is one who is prepared to be responsible for the consequences of his actions.
Absolutely. Were you prepared for manhood by your community and the older men around you? And are men generally supporting other men in this journey of adulthood and manhood?
Technically, yes. We are given a macho view of manhood by the community of men. So what do I mean? If you were playing some type of game and you fell down, instead of crying, you would be told, don't cry, boy. What's wrong with you? All that can make you a man. Mm-hmm. And so our definition of manhood is to never show weakness. And so the number one rule of the jungle is if you are weak, you will get eat. And so as a man, we are told never to show weakness, no matter the situation. Our hand could be cut off, our leg, but the moment we show weakness, then we are deemed unmanly.
Let me tell you where I think we take advantage of that a lot. You ever see a good, good man will make sure his whole family eat before he eat? And his belly will sit there and cry. He'll never let anybody know he's hungry. I know a couple men like that well. They will make sure their family eat, and they will never say a thing. They'll never, you know, they won't mention a word. But I know their bellies have to be crying. We just think that men are these machines that could take anything and that could do anything, and we have these expectations, right? Like they just go to work. They don't need, but men need to be able to take care of their skin too. They don't want to be itchy. Like, you know, we think of it as, oh, only soft men worry about their skin and things like that. But we live in the tropics. You know, that's an important thing. And, you know, so go on.
As you get older, you realize that, hey, you know what? It's okay to express displeasure in something. And so this misconception that as a man, if you speak out, if you complain and you're not being manly, that's slowly dissipating because most men aren't going to tolerate certain things in silence anymore.
Absolutely. I want to ask you two quick questions. Recently, we see this sort of return to something old where, in British culture, husbands and wives would sleep in different beds, and sometimes they would even have separate bedrooms, right? And so when I was growing up, I thought that was odd because you're supposed to love each other and sleep in the same bed and share the marital bed, right? Do men want to sleep in separate beds or separate bedrooms from their women? Or is this just women who are annoyed with hairy, crusty old man, and we just need our space.
I think everybody enjoys being in a nice, big, comfortable bed without a knee in their back. So it depends.
Yeah.
You know, I think every now and again, you probably would prefer to be in a nice, comfortable bed by yourself. But then again, there are times when there's nothing better than having the person that you love right on the side of you.
Absolutely.
Aaron, yes. I have a friend who says that he'll get married if they could live in separate houses. So go figure.
See, that sounds good, right? Except that's two set of bills. Mm-mm. And I don't need to be angry. I only need to be angry once. But listen, I'm going to invite, I have my guest from my first segment on the show, Tiffany A. Bain, and I'm going to invite her as well to join in the discussion. Because I get the next question here, right? Now, we know about the man cave, and we know about the she shed, right? Is it important for men, and for women, of course, but is it important for men to be able to have a space that is theirs, right? And because I'm thinking about it, I just saw the article in The Guardian, the dad girl, right? And he's talking about how when he comes home from work, he's not feeling up emotionally. His children could just come and jump on him, and that raises his spirits. But sometimes man need some time to himself, right? Is the man cave and the she shed, are these positive things, or are these sort of negative things springing up in our culture?
I think there is a necessity. I think every man enjoys that time to himself, to just be alone, to just gather his thoughts and decompress from the battles that he would have faced during the day. And so I think everyone, male or female, everyone needs that time for themselves where they can just unwind and just relax.
So maybe the man cave and the she shed is the evolution of the separate bedrooms.
Yeah, maybe. Right. And because I want to make sure that I'm not a feminist, right? Just sort of placing some global north and some fancy American ideas on Bahamian dynamics, you know? I want to make sure that we are really interrogating our own lived experiences versus making judgments on the things we see in the media.
Well, I want to co-sign that because as an introvert, I need a...
Yeah. And, you know, you still there, Troy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You know, and sort of in a sensitive way, like the same way that women are sort of shy or concerned about some bodily functions around men, like I would like to be able to pass gas and not worry about whether my partner is offended by it.
That's a relationship test, though.
Yeah, that's a game changer. That's a game. How do I know I love you if I can stand a fart? I think you don't want to do that too quickly in a relationship.
But I want to say to our marriage counselors out there, if you're not taking these young people and some of these older people, if you ain't taking them through these paces, you ain't doing your job. Because like Joy say, a poop too early in a relationship could end it all.
Yes. Aaron, I'm screaming right now.
But listen,
I wanted to say that alone time is particularly important for both
men and women
because it is really a key element of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
To get in touch with yourself, you're not going to be able to what you want, reflecting on your life, reflecting on your behavior, how you show up, how you interact with people. You need time alone. There's some important things that happen when you're by yourself, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically. You know, some people love the whole group exercise thing, but some people prefer working out alone. And so you won't know that unless you figure yourself out.
Yeah.
So I think that the man cave is critical. And I never heard about the she shed before, but hey, I'll take it.
Go on, Troy.
Well, in the Bahamas, we have a lot of advantages. Every evening, sometimes there's a particular gentleman with his lawn chair, a bottle of wine, mm-hmm. and his cigar, and he's overlooking the ocean. He's just relaxing to himself. And so, yeah, man cave doesn't have to be a physical place where you relax and be by yourself. You can enjoy the elements and just go outside, take a walk, and just allow you to decompress and forget about all of the vicissitudes of life that you have gone through during the day and just unwind. So I think the ability for us to just let it go by ourselves is very important.
You know, when I was thinking of that question, I couldn't quite word it properly, but after you spoke just now, I realized what a part of it is. It's that traditionally we think of the kitchen as the woman's space and the outside, like the yard, as the man's space. But those spaces are tied to labor, right? They're tied to work. Like the man is take care of the yard and take care of the house, and the woman is take care of the kitchen. And that's why it's their domain. And I think the concept of the man cave that you did such a good job of expressing is not just a room that's private to a man. It's a space that a man creates where he can sort of debrief at the end of a day.
The man cave has also been the bar room for a lot of men. Right.
I was just about to say, and maybe more men would go home if they had a space at home in which they can just be and exist in a way that they enjoy.
And it's not necessarily about wanting to avoid the women. Because when you were talking about that man on the beach, I just imagined a house with like 12 women because family have been disformed. And then you got 6 men, because every woman have a man they love and have to follow them, and plenty children, and he's go to the beach to catch himself. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's about not wanting to expose the children to adult behavior. So you go outside of the home.
Sometimes you just need a space. I know as a former teacher myself, even if I didn't get to go into the staff room for lunch, just having children not inside my classroom was enough of a reset from my lunch break. Just them being in that class made me
and
tired.
Children, that don't mean we don't love y'all. I was a teacher for a hot moment. I was a teacher for 35 seconds. It doesn't mean we don't love y'all. It just means that we got to recharge. It's like a rechargeable battery.
Exactly.
You got to recharge the battery. So it's Father's Day on Sunday. And as you may have heard, I am adopting fathers because they may not have somebody to celebrate them. Like, their children may be mad at them, rightly so. And I can forget that because I don't know about it, right? So that ain't my business. And I can let you love me and buy me Father's Day dinner, and I can buy you a card, right? And so you could feel like a father. You could feel like somebody needs you financially and emotionally. And that's what I into for Father's Day this year. But I want to ask you, Troy, are you a father?
I am.
Great. Because the next question was, do you have to be a father to understand fatherhood? But I'm glad, before you became a father, right? Like, did you have a sense of what was ahead for you?
Well, prior to being a parent, I had no clue that I would no longer see my money again. I just was not prepared for that. The moment you have a child, your money is no longer your own. You can't just, drop it like it hot, make it rain. You actually have the budget for it, because when your kid is hungry, you can't just look up into their face and say, I don't have no money. I can't feed you. Mm-hmm. And so being a parent, the moment you become a parent is the day you realize that you are responsible for everything that this living being needs until they are 18 and above.
Absolutely. Now, here's a question for everybody. Are men supporting men in their roles as fathers? Like, are men looking out for other men? Are men prioritizing fathers in their spaces? Are men focused on each other in this way?
I think it depends. Everyone has their small grouping that they turn to in times of crisis, or one or two friends that assist them. And so everybody has their own circle. Men generally go to other men for advice, and depending on that advice, they would follow it, et cetera. So most men, those who are looking for assistance, won't be afraid of saying, hey, you know, little Johnny did X, Y, Z. How did you deal with this when you know, your kid did this? And so men would typically turn to one another for those kind of advice or some mentor or someone that would have gone through a similar situation. So it just depends on your circle.
Absolutely. Now, here's another question. Are women, like, do women understand the need to allow fathers to be with their children when their, the mother and father's intimate relationship ends?
That's a tricky one. I want to hear his answer.
It depends. You know, that's why it's important to choose your partners wisely. I'm divorced, but me and my ex-wife, we co-parent.
Okay.
And so if the kids do something that they should not have done, I would get a call or a text, and depending on the situation, I would go there and deal with it. So it just depends on your partner. If you have a partner that's open-minded and realize that it's not about you and it's about the kid, then it shouldn't be as a difficult transition. But it just depends on the two individuals, whether or not they're mature enough to set aside their own individual differences and egos and focus on what's important, which would be the kids.
I have a kind of follow-up question to that. I know men say women talk a lot because women often communicate. Do you think men advocate for themselves enough as fathers and husbands in relationships in the first place? Or are you kind of like passive about problems that you have, especially?
When you say,
like,
if
you, men generally
advocate.
Yeah, like, oh, if you, like, okay, you have a really strong position about how you want to parent your child. Do you speak up about that? Like, if you need this space, you need this man cave, how good are men about advocating for these things? Because, like, women might ask about it, but then they're just going to go ahead and do it. How are men responding to their own needs and making everybody else aware of them?
I think it depends on the personality of the individual. Like, I'm told that I have an alpha personality. And so I'm going to make my request known. Whether it's adhered to is another story. Mm-hmm. Whereas some men are quite comfortable with taking a backseat with certain parental roles. It just depends on the individual and their personality.
And like, just generally, is, are women aware of this space, right, where men may be trying to negotiate or trying to advocate for, right, for what they think is important in the relationship, in the raising of the children? Are women aware that that's something that men should be doing, right, and are trying to do?
Well, it's interesting because the same way men were taught to be quiet, show no weakness, and we were kind of inculcated with that particular mindset. Women have also been taught the same thing, that men should, you know, you would think that the gender roles were something that men created, but there are women that feel that raising of the children is primarily their responsibility.
Who and is if doing you that? Hear they need the, to stop.
You hear the words they use, they would say, my child, my this, my
yeah,
that,
but that
as if
that's
there
a,
wasn't another,
yeah.
another partner involved.
I understand what you're saying. It's sort of a if this is the only power I'll have, I'll take that space. But we gotta have a whole show on that, Tiffany.
Please.
We gotta have a whole show on that. What was interesting to me is that when, you know, do women acknowledge that when a man says, hey, I would like to keep this room to do A or B in, right? And she says, well, this is what I plan to do with the room. And when he says it again, right, that he's actually advocating and trying to have a conversation about it, right? And do women see, because I know a lot of men who will sort of, without talking to the partner, be comfortable and say, whatever decision she wants to make,
right,
I will let her make it.
In the name of peace.
Well, no, not in the, well, they don't say in the name of peace, right? I know that some men do say that, but these men are saying, like, it's our house,
right,
and I'm not that invested in this particular issue. Or I'm not invested
in... Or I'm not important enough to have a place?
Well, and I'm wondering whether they are not they are articulating poorly or not recognizing that they have already made a compromise before the negotiations have begun.
Okay.
Right? So I think a lot of men are do attempt initially to negotiate for space, but are willing either to keep the peace or because they don't want their wife to feel disempowered. Mm. They want her to feel like this is your domain, like you may feel powerless out there, but this run it. And then some men are sort of like, this is too much for me. I don't mind if she makes those decisions. Then I get to focus my energy on other things. And so, you know, when you ask this question, are men advocating? It makes me think, do we understand the way that men do advocate and the way that they do engage, right? And that we have this idea that men are power hungry and they are dominant and controlling, but in many ways, they don't want to do that. So they just give it to you. But do you recognize that they are abdicating their power willingly as opposed to saying, well, if that's what you want to do, then you do that and I could do this.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, Aaron, most men... you raise an important point with that because I think what a lot of women see as passivity in men is actually surrender.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Is that submission?
Right. It's just like, you know, I battle in the world. I battle out there for my family, for myself. I really don't want to come home to another battle. I want home to be, as we were all talking about, this place of refuge and peace and a place where I can be myself, I can be vulnerable and all these sorts of things. And I think that women really need to be more mindful, as you said, of when a man is trying to assert himself and even just share his opinion because it's confusing. On the one hand, you're saying, talk to me, baby, talk to me, tell me what you're thinking, tell me what you're feeling. And then when they do, it's a big shutdown or it's a big argument and all of that. And so it's not encouraging and it's not a safe space for a man to advocate for himself. And I think it's really unfair that men are expected to pay all the bills and then don't even have an opinion in that castle.
Absolutely. I feel you. And so I'm all out of time, full schedule of looking for daddies to adopt me today. But I want to say that I think it's important for both men and women to be able to see their personal experience in the context of a wider cultural and historic experience of men and women. Because I think because we don't understand what we're saying to each other, we end up fighting as opposed to loving each other, what we're supposed to do. So I want to say thank you. Don't turn off the music. I want to say thank you to Troy Strawn for joining us today. I know it was a short segment. I want to say thank you to Simone Bo for coming back and bringing this wonderful guest. I want to say thank you to Tiffany Bain for the first segment and informing with such wonderful nuggets this secondary conversation this morning. It is Father's Day this weekend. Y'all love up these boys. But at the same time, gentlemen, if you know, like in your heart as a baby, you deserving of love, but as a man, you know you got some work to do. Don't be mad. Just work harder. And listen, ladies, it's Father's Day. It's not Mother's Day. It's not Single Mother's Day, right? I would say it's not lesbian playing the father's role in the household day. It's Father's Day.
Male parent day.
Yeah, let us love the fathers. And then, you know, you kiss them on Sunday, talk to them bad on Monday. Have a great day, Bahamas. Love yourself. Take care of each other. Govern yourself. Have a great weekend.
On the daily, in the club, I shake it. Strip down till she naked. Don't ever mistake it. Much too real to fake it. Need it and she take it.